This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
You know, the Philadelphia Eagles are taking a lot of heat. I mean, a lot of heat for tanking against the Washington football team that the Bucs play this weekend. Giants coach Joe Judge said it hurts the integrity of the game. Do you agree? You just want Joe to shut up and worry about his own club. And Deontay Smith wins the Heisman Trophy at Alabama. We'll tell you whether we agree or disagree with that choice. And we've got to find a new job for Peyton Manning, and you get to play along. We'll discuss all that and more with Tom Jones, longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, my former radio partner, now with the Poynter Institute of Media Studies here on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Hey, you know who's got the best party platters for your catering needs in Tampa Bay? Well, that's easy. It's Mr. Empanada. What the heck's an empanada? Well, here's what you do. You take your favorite foods. You place them inside a pocket of homemade dough that is cooked perfectly until it's golden brown and piping hot. Their empanadas are a fresh twist on some old favorites. Now, you can order delicious menu items made totally from scratch, including soups, salads, and Cuban sandwiches online at MrEmpanada.com or call any one of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay, where Latin food, quality, and service meet. It's Mr. Empanada. All right, Tom Jones joins us now. And Tom, I wanted to talk about a subject that all of us deal with. No. As men our age usually do. Not that subject. I wanted to talk about
getting up and going to the bathroom 4 times a night.
Yes, right. Yeah. Exactly. Do you drink a lot of water before you go to bed? Probably not a good idea at our age. No, I wanted to talk about tanking.
Tanking.
This is not an Army reference. This isn't about war. We're not going to do war today. But in sports, and lately, of course, in the NFL, and this arose particularly relevant because the Bucs are playing the Washington football team, the NFC champions, and they got there by winning more games than the other teams in the lousy NFC East. But they also got there because it turns out that the Philadelphia Eagles did not really care about trying to beat the Washington football team. And more than
What are you talking about? Doug Peterson says, the head coach of the Eagles said they were trying to win. I don't know. Where's the question?
Well,
what's the problem?
Define try. Because there's a lot of different ways. You know what I mean? Like, I've tried to become a millionaire. Yeah. And I've, you know, may succeed before it's all said and done. But I'm just saying, like,
I tried to lose 20 pounds, but then I ate a pizza. So...
You actually have lost 20 pounds before. What are you talking about?
A jelly donut. Yeah, but then I started eating jelly donuts again, and then it's like, okay, I'm kind of tanking here.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll refer specifically to what happened the other night. You know, Doug Peterson's in this game, and they're very competitive. And if they win the football game, if they beat the Washington football team, the New York Giants are in the postseason. They're the NFC East champs, and the Bucs are going to MetLife Stadium again. And they had every chance to win this football game. And then Carson Wentz was inactive, by the way. He wasn't even on the field, right? That's a train wreck of the situation for them.
And they couldn't find Ron Jaworski's phone number.
Yeah, exactly. They got Jalen Hurts playing. And then they're in the game, and then all of a sudden they pull Hurts.
Right.
And, like, you got Nate Suffield or whoever. I mean – this
Nate
was
Nate Stiffarm.
Yeah, exactly. Which was the worst day of Nate's life, because had Nate not been exposed as a horrible quarterback, he might have kept the third job for years.
Right.
So it wasn't a good day for him either that he played. Hey, you get to play. No, no, I'm good over here. So they tank and they lose. And I mean, he drops a snap. He throws an interception. And they only lose by like 20 to 14 or something like that. And meanwhile, Peterson, with a straight face, says, well, we had to evaluate some guys. Yeah, like your third quarterback who you'll never play, or nor do you want to play, nor should you not just replace him next year anyway. It was preposterous in its own way, and it wasn't fun to watch, and it was on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, are you kidding me? It was hilarious to watch.
Oh, yeah. If you like train wrecks.
It was incredibly entertaining. I do. I was incredibly entertained to watch that.
Really?
I thought it was the funniest. It's the first time I've tweeted about anything. And all I said at one point was, that was hilarious. After the part that really got me is when the Eagles jumped off sides.
Fourth and inches, yeah.
Fourth and inches.
Yeah.
And at that point, who ordered
a code red? We started on all that.
To me, it was the most entertaining football game of the day, other than that Tennessee Houston game. I thought it was. But anyway, to your point.
I mean, everybody goes on. You know, they go on the internet, and the people, the giant fan lost his mind. Okay,
right.
giant fan who doesn't like the Eagles anyway, now has every other reason not to like them. And yeah, it was. You know, but it was bad. It was bad, I listened to Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels twist themselves in knots.
What I thought was weird about that is they spent like way too much time not talking about the elephant in the room.
Right.
And then like the last 2 minutes, and Collinsworth was just like, I couldn't do that.
I can't hold it back anymore. It was like,
I was listening to Bill Simmons the other day with somebody like, He suggested it finally, like the producer just whispered in their ears, like, go ahead. You guys want to go off, go ahead. And they did for the last. Can I just say, I'm on everybody's side here. I'm okay with everybody in this situation. I'm okay with the Eagles. I'm okay with the Giant fans. I'm okay with Joe Judge. I'm okay with everybody. First off, I'm all for the Eagles don't owe anybody anything, in my opinion. They're doing what they think is best for them.
Well, hold on now.
What? Okay, go ahead. I'm telling you right now, though, I'm giving you a choice. You get the ninth pick or the sixth pick, because that's what this was about for the most part. Do you want the ninth pick in the draft or the sixth pick in the draft?
Which one did I earn?
Which one do you want? That's because now you have a choice. You have a choice here.
No, I gotta lose it. Look, we have our own experience with this. We'll get to in a minute.
Sure. Yeah, we watched it.
To me, nine or six, I couldn't tell you that there's a big difference there. If I'm to be completely honest,
so you don't care if I gave every GM in the league the choice.
If you gave the choice, they'll have the six. But if the choice is I have to go out there and deliberately lose a game to get it, I don't think that currency is enough.
That's a good point. That's a fair point.
You know what I'm saying? It's three spots, and it's not like you're going from 3 to 1 or from 5 to 2. You know what I mean? Where there's two quarterbacks, and I gotta have one of those two franchise guys. Like, who are you going up for at six? I mean, you cannot predict who's going to be there at six. You can't.
No, but it's a better pick. But it is a better pick.
No, it's a better number. Doesn't mean he's going to be a better pick.
No, it doesn't mean he's a better player. But if I give every single GM a choice in the history of football, you want the ninth pick or the sixth pick? You want the 120th pick?
Well, they'll all take the sixth pick. But then ask me what I had to do to get it. Listen, this is the old thing, like, I wouldn't sleep with you for $1 million. And somebody says, how about $2 million? You go, well, now that we've established what you are, we're just negotiating price.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, you know, it's not, and this is where Joe Judge, you know, got on his high horse.
A little sanctimonious, but ultimately I get his point.
You get his point. So his point was that you cheated the game, that the integrity of the game is too important, that you should never try, in essence, to lose a game for any reason. Like, whether you're coaching that way, playing that way. Now, here's the thing. Did those players go out there and decide to play bad? Were they trying? Because I don't think if you're their third-string quarterback that you want to drop snaps or that you want to throw interceptions.
Nobody was purposely not blocking.
You're just not as good as the guy that could play instead.
Right. And your coach did not put – I mean, the coach's job is to put my team in the best position to win. He did not do that clearly by putting in that quarterback.
Right.
But what Joe Judge said – again, Joe Judge, a little sanctimonious. I get it. And he better be careful, because there's going to come a day – because I think he's a good coach, and I do think there will come a day where they're a pretty good team, and he might have a game at the end of the season where he wants to rest some people because the game doesn't mean anything to him, and he's going to sit some guys. But I'll say this about Joe Judge. What Joe Judge did, coming out and saying what he said – That was, you know, that was for, that was for his team, and that was for his fans, and that was for his owner. That was for, I mean, if you're a player, I'm like, good for Joe Judge. If I play for the Giants, that's what I want my coach to say. My coach had my back there. And I get it. You lost 10 games. You don't have much of a reason to gripe. And he started off, to be fair, he started off his whole speech with, look, if we'd have taken care of our business, we wouldn't be here talking about this. It's our fault that we missed the playoffs because we only won 6 games. But overall, like that speech was for the Giants and for the players and for the fans. And you know what? Somebody else mentioned this. I forget who it was, one of the national guys. That's for free agents out there. If you're a free agent, I hear Joe Judge say, like, that's a guy that, yeah, like, that's a coach that wants to win, man. He cares about the players, you know?
Can you tell me what coach, do you think Doug Peterson doesn't want to win?
So what are you telling me, though? Are you telling me, we both watched what happened, Rick, the other night, mm-hmm. Sunday night. It's clear that what the Eagles did. Now, I'll go back to this part about the when they went for it on fourth down, I didn't think that was tanking. I didn't think that was part of the plan. I thought they were legitimately trying to score there. And I tell you what, that play was there. It was open. And Jalen Hurts threw a worm burn.
He threw a bad pass.
And it was, they would have taken the lead. And I was okay with them going for it there because I was watching that game and I said, this, neither one of these teams can move the football. They may not get back down there again.
Touchdown.
And the field goal's going to tie it. And if they score a touchdown here, they might win the game.
Right.
So that to me wasn't, if you're making the argument that they tanked and that was part of your argument, oh, they went for it on fourth down, I think it's a bad argument. Because like I said, you watch that play, the play was there.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, Rick, you watch it. What are you telling me? Are you telling me that Doug Peterson was taking orders from somebody upstairs? Like, hey, put in.
Well, I don't know whose idea was. It's usually an organizational situation, right? It's usually a discussion. What happened there, I think, probably came from the owners or the general manager or whoever his boss is. I don't think Doug Peterson went in that game saying, you know what, we're going to lose this game. We're going to do everything we can to lose it. We're going to empty the benches. And I assure you, we won't be as good as them and we'll lose. I just don't know that he would do that to go from 9-6. There's not enough currency for me because, first of all, the first round, I don't care where you're picking, is a 50% chance. We talked about quarterbacks, even if you have the top two picks and they're both really good, one of them's probably not going to make it, if not both. I mean, it's funny, when Jameis came out, we said, well, which one's going to make it? It turns out neither have. So at the end of the day, it's like, I think somebody, you know, we all have bosses. We just do. And I don't know why the GM or Lurie or the owner or whoever would want it would be that important to them to get a better draft pick, or maybe they just hate the Giants. Here's what I thought about Joe Judge. What he said was terrific. Put it on a poster and hang it in your bathroom, mm-hmm. or wherever you read your posters. It was awesome. Okay? Here's what I want to say to Joe Judge. How about you worry about your team?
Yeah.
You know? How about, why is this even, you know, get like, he didn't mention the Eagles by name, but let's be honest. He got on his soapbox for a reason. Because his team got left out of the playoffs because the Eagles didn't try to win.
Right.
Okay? So at the end of the day, right, just worry about your own team. And if he's saying, well, I'm talking to my team, we will never do that. You know what? Good. Why don't you try to win more than 6 or 7 games so you don't have to rely? Because the only reason the fans were upset of the Giants is because the Eagles didn't try, and if they had won the game and they could have, they're in the playoffs. But you know what? I mean, the division winner won 7 games. Like, you just don't have the right to tell other teams what to do.
No, and like, again, to be fair, Judge started off that press conference.
But nobody's going to be fair about that because I haven't heard that clip one time.
No, but he did start off by saying, well, we should have taken care of our own business. However,
yeah, but that doesn't. But then you become sanctimonious.
But don't you think he was? Yeah, and he does. He comes off as sanctimonious, but. I mean, don't you think there was a little bit of strategy there? I think he was sticking up for his team.
It's for his play. No, he, you know what he is? He's a hard ass.
He's a hard ass and he's a Belichick guy and all
he's
that.
He's trying to. But Belichick wouldn't say squat. You think Belichick would say that? He might say it behind closed doors. He ain't going to have a speech about it.
He doesn't want to give the media the time of the day to do that. But I think if you're a New York Giants, if you're a player, you'd love that.
If you're the owner, you love it. If you're the player, you love it. But you're right. There will come a day, Joe Judge, if you're any good at all. I want to see Saquon Barkley get the ball 32 times when you've wrapped up the number one seed in the NFC and you got one game to play. You better not sit a guy.
You're not going to play Daniel Jones. Don't you sit Saquon.
What about the integrity of the game? I paid money. I want to see the best players. Why are you putting in your backup quarterback?
Right, and that game may cost somebody else a playoff spot. You're right.
So why aren't people all over Mike Tomlin? And I'm going to play Ben.
Well, yeah, because somebody got left out of the playoffs because Cleveland made it. Right.
You know what I mean?
No, for sure.
Why did they get?
Well, the difference there being is that
they earned their right to bench everybody.
Well, and they also have another game to prepare for. They're trying to by sitting those guys, they are conceivably improving their playoff chances by not getting anybody hurt. Like they got a game this week.
But let me ask you this though. Like
there is a difference between what the Steelers did and what say. And there's,
well,
I think
you know
Kansas
what? There
City,
might not be
Kansas
there might
City,
not be a big difference to their fans.
Kansas City sat guys too.
There's not a, probably a big. I think their fans would have preferred they win.
Yeah, but if it doesn't, yeah, but what would you?
If
you, would
got
you rather
ben hurt,
would you rather
they
win
would
and
be
have
all
Roethlisberger
over them.
Get hurt, or would you rather lose and have Roethlisberger ready to play this? And Patrick Mahomes sat right for.
He's going to sit 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially.
I don't have. There is a difference between that and what Philadelphia. They were clearly just. Not trying to win. They put the guy in there, and it's not to evaluate. I mean, come on.
Maybe they wanted to evaluate it. Maybe they were
well,
doing
then start him. Then
what
start
a
him.
High school coach would do and say, hey, you're going to play the fourth quarter, big guy. You've
or
given
play,
me all you had all
it
year
It just
long.
Looked bad because you basically waited until
it only
it
looked
you
bad.
Had a chance to win, and then, like, no.
It only looked bad because the Giants would have benefited from you winning. That's why it looked bad.
Well, that's why it looked bad. It also looked bad because that game was close, because Washington was so bad
itself. But if
itself.
Nothing was riding on it, Tom, if that was just two teams finishing the string.
Well, sure.
And there was no, hey, they win, they're in, or if they win, they're in. There was no, let's say there was no playoff implications at all. Would anybody be talking about this?
Nobody would have a problem with this. And also, nobody would have an issue with this if Washington was up 40-10.
So it's sour grapes. At that
it
point.
Is a bit of sour grapes, but
it's, you know, to the victors goes the spoils. It's like, shut up. I'm sorry. I don't like guys that stand up there and are going to tell me how virtuous they are. You know what I mean?
Right. But like, okay, so let's take. I agree with
you. Don't work for their owner.
I understand.
He doesn't. Your check does not say the Philadelphia Eagles. Right.
So now the argument, though, is let's go back to Peterson. Though, if you're Doug Peterson or the Philadelphia organization, whoever you want to. Say made the call here, and I don't owe anything to anybody else, and I'm doing what's best for my franchise. I'm getting to do two things. I'm getting to evaluate a quarterback that I might or might not like,
or reward one,
or and if the worst comes to worst, I improve my draft position. So, do I owe it? I guess here's what I'm asking, Rick. It seems like a bunch of people are jumped. Does this stain Doug Peterson? Is this a bad look?
Here's how it would stain Doug Peterson, and I think it probably will, but ultimately it shouldn't. Did Doug Peterson communicate to his team? Forget about the fans, you know, because the fans just want to win. They want to win every game. They want to win. I guarantee you, there was Pittsburgh fans that tuned in that watched the Browns game, and they knew Ben wasn't playing. Who were they rooting for?
Yeah,
Pittsburgh.
Sure.
They wanted him to win. They may have understood why they weren't playing their starters, but they wanted him to win that game. I guarantee you they did.
Sure they did.
So there's going to be people who want you to win no matter what. I just think that if he communicated it to his players, and apparently too many of them came up and asked what the hell is going on,
right?
Which is a bad look, right? But as an organization, if you went into a meeting on Saturday night and you said, hey, guys, we're going to play our asses off and try to win this game. But come the fourth quarter, that guy over there is going to play quarterback. So, you know what? It's kind of like, you know, when you played in high school and, you know, you had about 12 guys that didn't get to play much unless you were up by like 30 in the fourth quarter. It was on those guys that started to get that 30-point lead so that you can empty the bench in the fourth quarter and let the other guys play. Like, you felt that responsibility. Now, right. If he communicated that and said, look for a lot of reasons. We want to reward guys. We want to watch guys. We want to evaluate guys. And you know what? This game means nothing. If we lose it, great. We get a better draft pick. But this isn't going from 4-1 or from 5-2. This is negligible. You can't even, you know, within reason, you can't necessarily. Maybe they've done their draft evaluation and said, you know what? There's only 6 players in this draft I want.
I mean, look, that part is that 6 is better than 9. It just is. I don't care who's the 9.
It's
I don't
not
care who the
that
guys
much
are.
Better. I'm telling you, it's not. It's
how do
not.
We know? What would you rather have? This, I'm giving you a choice right now.
What do I got to do to get it?
What? So that's what I'm saying. You're saying they had to basically sell their soul a little too much to do it.
I just think that I wouldn't.
Like, I'm
have
trying
done
to figure out your argument. It seems like you're going both ways.
I'm on both sides, but I'm doing a good job of being on both sides.
You are. So am I. Like, I kind of get
but
it.
But if I want to be you, can you started this argument? Says this, yeah, I don't have a problem with either one of them.
Okay,
and I'm telling you, I have a problem with the Giants.
Okay. Oh yeah, I have a problem with the Giants.
But now, if you're asking me, Rick Stroud, what I have done what Doug Peterson did, my answer would be, if my job depended, if my boss told me I was, yeah.
Do you think it was bad?
Let me talk to you like you know, for those of you don't have a job. When I'm asked to do something, there's very little I wouldn't do to keep my job. Right. I got to be honest with you.
I've done
some things I'm not proud of. So,
I know all the things you've done, and it wasn't. I don't think you've sullied your reputation in any way.
Well, I covered it up well. You don't know.
Maybe I don't know. Yeah,
you don't know everything, Val.
I'm just. Do you think that it's? Does it somehow harm? Like Joe Judge's argument was sort of like this is
it harms the game.
It's bad for the league. It hurts the integrity of the. It's about the shield.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where was the memo from the National Football? Did I miss the press conference by Roger Goodell that talked about how awful and how they're going to fine the Philadelphia Eagles? Did I miss that letter that they sent him?
It didn't come. It didn't happen.
Wonder why. Why do you suppose that letter didn't come?
So, but if you were Roger Goodell, would you have sent him a letter? Like, hey,
no.
Don't do that again.
No, but you know why? Because I work for the 32 other owners, or the 31 other owners. I'm not going to tell them their job.
Okay,
They're my boss.
What if Dallas had won that game between the Dallas and the Giants?
I really believe. Can you imagine if Jerry had beat the Giants, which they should have, by the way. If he'd have beaten the Giants and Philadelphia tanked on the Cowboys.
Forget it.
You don't want the guy with the star coming after you now.
That's right. You don't want the entire state of Texas
on your butt.
I get where Joe Judge was coming from. I think his message was directed at his players and
then tell the players in the locker room, listen, do you got to stand out there publicly and condemn what some other team did?
Yeah, because you're riling your team up. You're gonna
do it in the locker room. You don't need that. You have a team meeting.
No, it was sanctimonious. It was holier than thou. It was definitely a soapbox moment, but I'm fine with that.
You're fine with that?
You lost 10 games. I'm not saying it's the Eagles' fault.
Let me tell you how this works. You can't come in here and have your first year and win 6 games and flash a badge and make me nervous. You know what I mean?
Like, he's telling Doug Peterson, a Super Bowl winning coach, how to do things.
Exactly.
I think it's great. He ran down a rival.
I beat the Patriots with a backup quarterback in the Super Bowl. You can't come down here in your first year in New York, flash a badge and make me nervous. I mean, that's really what it amounted to.
No doubt.
Where's your ring, Joe?
No doubt about it. But I think it was a good message for his team. I think his team loved it. I think his fans loved it. I think his owner loved it.
And I can't wait until he's in that position where he has to do it himself.
That's fine. And I can't wait till they play each other next year, the Eagles and the Giants twice.
They hate each other. Can they hate each other more?
Apparently.
Really?
Yeah. But really? Doug Peterson's taking a beating this week, Rick. And he wasn't going to come out and
Doug
say, we were trying to tank.
You know why Doug he's taking a beating, but you know part of the reason why he's taking a beating is they got a bad quarterback situation that they've mishandled.
Yeah, they do.
And it's not even Doug's fault. It's the organization's fault.
Right.
They destroyed this guy's confidence. He ain't got crap around him. Really,
no.
He doesn't.
Carson Wentz, you're talking about?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
And they can't trade him.
No. You know? Well, they might be able to.
They might end up doing it, but they're going to take a hell of a cap.
They're going to take a hit. Yeah, the team that takes them on, it's actually going to not be a bad situation financially.
No, and you know what?
And here's the problem. And Jalen Hurts, I'm not sure Jalen Hurts is the guy either.
But he's 1 year removed or so from throwing 33 touchdowns, and oh, he got hurt, or he would have been the MVP of the league. And
Carson Wentz built
a statue. You with me now?
Yeah.
They built a statue of the guy that came in and won the Super Bowl.
The other
outside.
Guy. Yeah.
The other guy.
Who got beat up by Mitch Trubisky in Chicago.
Right. You went out and got them damn near to the Super Bowl and threw 33 touchdown passes and blew up your knee diving in the end zone, and they built the other guy a statue. Philly special. They got sandwiches named after this guy. And you know what? He can't play dead. He got replaced by Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky, yeah.
You know exactly. What I'm saying?
No. No, the Eagles situation's a mess, for sure. So maybe with the sixth pick, they can find themselves a quarterback.
No. There's not. That's the thing. There's going to be like three. The rest of them, it doesn't matter where you're picked. I'm telling you, you can't predict that, oh, we got the sixth pick. We're good. We're gold.
I like it better Nobody's than the ninth pick. I like better than nine.
The Bucks
That's
had
all
the
I'm
sixth
thinking.
Pick every year that I've covered
real
this team.
Quick,
they
too.
Do
real quick, too. Let's like, we watch tanking, too. But yes. Why? So how did the Bucks pull it off? And not get criticized because, A, I guess they played a game.
You know why?
I'll
tell you why.
It didn't matter, right?
They played a game. Well, it mattered to them, and it mattered to
Tennessee. No, but I mean, it didn't cost somebody else.
Cost Tennessee the first pick in the draft.
Right, but it didn't cost another. That's fine. You're both bad. It
didn't cost a playoff spot for
anybody. But it didn't hurt the integrity of the game in terms of, oh, they laid down and by the other team. Who did they play, New Orleans that day?
They played the Saints.
So it didn't like, oh, because that happened, Seattle missed the playoffs. Or,
no, no. You know,
Minnesota.
No, they were 2-14. They couldn't affect anybody's playoff chances. I mean, I guess if the Saints were battling somebody to get
that's
in.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that was the
case. I don't think there was anything on the line they'd have beaten the Saints other than they'd have lost the number one pick and they'd have had the number two pick. And I said it at the time. I went back and read my story. I was like, did I write it at the time? Did I say? Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah. No, we
Everybody
were sitting next
did.
To one. I remember you looking at me and go, this is a tank.
This is unbelievable. Well, first of all, we went into the game. I remember me and you sitting there and we're going, they're going to lose, right? Oh, yeah, they'll lose. New Orleans, Drew Brees, oh, yeah, they're going to lose. And then we sat and watched Drew Brees throw two interceptions in the end zone.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, it's the fourth quarter, and they're up by 10. And you and I looked at each other and said, they're screwing this up. They're going to screw this up and win.
This is total Bucks right here.
This is the most Buck thing ever, right?
They're going to draft the Tennessee's going to draft Jameis Winston, who's
going
to go
He's
on
going
to be
the
a
Hall of Fame.
Famer, and Mariota will be out of here.
He'll be an absolute flame out. Yeah.
Be inactive by year two.
Right. So we're sitting here living this nightmare, and then all of a sudden, I'm telling you, and I've never gotten to ask Josh McCown this, but I bet in an honest moment he's an honest guy. I mean, if you go back and watch that game, first of all, they pulled out every player that could play. Mike Evans came out and after the game said, and I quote, "I was gassed, man." What? You had 6 months after this game to rest.
Right.
What do you mean you were gassed? You played a half. It's like perfect weather.
Yeah.
They took out their starting. They put in three offensive linemen who hadn't played a snap all year. And guess what happened? All of a sudden, McCown was a pincushion. There was a play, it's true, where New Orleans scores. And they put in a corner who hadn't played either. And they let somebody run right by him for a touchdown. And then... But New Orleans needed the ball back. Like the clock was a factor in this game because New Orleans is coming back, but not quite fast enough. So they get the ball, something happens, and they're backed up and, you know, instead of coming out, handing the ball off, whatever, punting away, McCown goes back to pass, and I swear to you, he got in the end zone and stood there. Stood there like a man in the middle of a freeway. And watched the traffic buzz by him until, boom, he was hit for a safety. So not only did he give up the 2 points, but then gave the ball back in good field position to New Orleans so he could score a touchdown and beat him. And I looked at – I was like, there has to be a fine here. There has to be a forfeiture of draft picks. Like, the league can't allow such a blatant, obvious, you know, tank job. Like, they threw the game. They didn't just – they took players out, but they threw the game, or so it seemed. And then I remember after the game, love it. Did we try to win? We tried to win. Of course, we tried to win. There are times you got to evaluate players. You know, this we're trying to evaluate guys. Like, you can't be serious with a straight face, man. It's because he wanted not just any quarterback. He wanted his quarterback. He wanted Jameis Winston, and that meant he had to have. Not needed to have. Had to have the first pick.
Right, right.
And I'll promise you another thing. He told his owners, and they wanted the first pick too.
Sure.
And they said, you got to do this. Go out and lose this game. So however you got to do it, we're probably going to lose anyway, but make sure we don't win this game. Now, it's possible that Doug Peterson had a similar conversation. That's what I mean. Joe Judge has no business, and you won't see boo, you won't see anything from the NFL commissioner because there's 31 other teams that might want to do the same thing tomorrow
right.
or next year.
Right. They just, I think this happens a lot. But the Eagles are like so bad at it. And I'm telling you who to blame here. We got to blame the Washington football team partly for this because they did everything they could to try to help the Eagles win that game. And the Eagles are like, no, we're not. You guys didn't get the memo? Like, we don't want it. Like, Alex Smith would throw an interception and they all of a sudden they give it right back to him. And then Alex Smith couldn't do anything. Like, if the Redskins or the Washington football team had done the right thing and just won normally, we wouldn't be talking, but the game was so close. They had a chance at the end. That was
yeah,
the problem.
They should have just blown them out. And then
I remember
just
a real quick story. The 1983-84 hockey season. If you go back and watch how the New Jersey Devils and Pittsburgh Penguins tried to out tank one another going down the stretch of that season, I think the Penguins won three of their last 18 games or something. They were playing backup goalies and third string goalies. And the Devils lost like their last eight games of the season, and it turned out that the Penguins barely. I think they finished with 38 points that year. The Devils with 41. I mean, that's like 50 some losses.
Jeez.
And the Penguins at the end of it got to draft Mario Lemieux was the number one
yeah.
draft pick, and number two was Kirk Muller, who was a nice player, but not Mario Lemieux.
Listen, I get it. If you have the chance, and with all you know. Like your Jacksonville or the Jets. And I mean, the Jets got, you know, the Jets had the other problem. They were going to get the number one overall pick. Everybody's sure that Trevor Lawrence is a generational quarterback. And all of a sudden they went out and won two in a row.
Yeah.
And right. Jets fans have lost their minds.
It's like, you can't even do it right.
Like you can't, yeah, you can't lose right. So,
okay. Although let me,
you know,
me
did
ask
Joe
this.
Judge send the New York football Jets a letter of accommodation and say, hey man, we're to uphold the integrity of the game?
No, of course not.
No.
Let me ask you this, though, now, Rick, because I know you want to talk a little bit about Justin Fields
mm-hmm.
tonight.
I do.
If you're the New York Jets, are you all of a sudden like, we're okay with Justin Fields? I mean, I watched him.
Well,
in
you're the Jets fans are.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if you are. Now,
well,
what
I'm
I would,
just, I'm just
what
saying,
I would
like,
say, I'm, yeah, what I would say is this. Go back and watch the Northwestern and the Indiana game and tell me which guy is Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Because no, he lit it up. I mean, listen, he lit it up, you know, the last game against Clemson. No doubt about it. Lit it up.
Right.
But you know
and
what?
From all accounts, Trevor Lawrence is super special. When you talk, I mean, we've seen what we see, but he's a college yeah. quarterback. But everybody's saying, yeah, no, he's Peyton Manning. He's Andrew Luck. I mean, that's.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
He's at another level.
Oh, they'd step over Fields to get to Lawrence. Right. I think most teams would.
Well, you almost had to step over Fields to get because the guy. Did you watch that game? You watched the semifinal game?
I did. I'm happy to talk about it because you're going to probably predict what my stance is. But to answer your first question about the Jets fans, yeah, Jets fans probably feeling really good, or at least not as bad, I would say.
Yeah.
About having the number two pick, so long as their guy does what he did. But I would just say to Jets fan. Yeah, go watch that Northwestern
Check
game
that
again.
Northwestern
he
game
was god awful. Okay, he was terrible.
He was terrible.
So which one is it? But okay, so now let's talk about the hit. Right.
Okay, Rick. I'm watching that game, and the first thing I thought was that guy had his liver blown up.
Yes, like or his spleen. Chris
or
Sims.
Spleen.
Chris
yeah,
Sims grabbed his.
I thought of Chris Sims.
Chest.
I thought of Chris Sims that
right
as I was watching that game.
Similar hit. Yeah.
Okay, he stays in the game, plays very well, obviously in pain afterwards.
You think?
And I hate to accuse anybody.
What tipped off the fact that he was still in pain when he was still playing?
When he was wincing and like limping.
Grabbing his side, couldn't
Here's
walk.
Here's the thing, Rick, and this is just the impression I got from the outside. I'm not saying, I'm sure the Ohio State people checked him out and all that stuff. I looked at that as like, it just struck me like Ryan Day was saying, you know what, we'll worry about it after the game. Go out there and do what you got to do. It was almost like I almost like felt like somebody needs to go out there and get this kid out of the game.
Absolutely.
He looked like he was in bad shape. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess he was, I mean, he's still walking around, so I guess it wasn't.
Well,
I guess he was okay. And again, I'm not going to accuse Ohio State of not checking him out, but it almost seemed like.
I will.
Are you guys checking him out here?
I'll accuse him of it, and I didn't have to. You know who accused him of it? Justin Fields. Justin Fields, you know, they have this thing called the tent, which I think is hilarious.
Right.
But they have the blue tent. They take him in the blue tent, right? And you assume that they're, you know, what, I'm no doctor, but I play one on TV, as they say. It looked pretty obvious to me that he might have some rib issues.
Rib or organ, seriously.
Or spleen, yeah. Like
He was in a car wreck on the field.
Virtually, yeah. And that's what happened to Chris Sims. I mean, Chris Sims, you know, he wasn't like, there wasn't a laceration, but internally he was losing about 5 pints of blood. And we watched him turn gray on the field against Carolina that day. And, you know, he almost lost his life. And it was no joke. It was like he was in a car accident. Same thing with this kid. So this kid is like visibly, I mean, can't even walk, you know, bent over, all that stuff, holding his side. He goes into the so-called blue tent and he comes out after a little while. After the game, they asked Justin Fields, so what was the diagnosis? In other words, it's a reasonable question, right? What'd they tell you
happened? Yeah.
He goes, diagnosis? They didn't give me no diagnosis. They just shot me up and sent me back out there. Quote.
Yeah. That's disturbing.
They took him in a tent. They found out, does it hurt here? How about here? Okay, put the needle there. How about here? Does it hurt here? Okay, put the needle there. This is all they did to the guy was numb him up.
Right.
So that he could finish the game. Tom Jones, we've had this conversation many times. Please, don't ever tell me, and this is not just for you, but for anybody out there, don't ever tell me that college football, or basketball for that matter, but we're talking about college football, isn't professional football. No, except no, for one thing, the players don't get paid. Oh, another thing, they aren't protected either. They have no insurance to speak of. They have no union to you know, prevent them from virtually losing their career and or their life, apparently. If this is what the kind of treatment you get during the game from your number one asset, your best player on your football team, a guy that did nothing but lay it on the line. And the comment you get from Ryan Day is essentially, oh, you couldn't keep him out of that game.
Here was the quote. Here was the quote when they talked to him at halftime of that game. And here's the exact quote. Quote, he's a really tough kid. He's got the heart of a lion. He's got to play for 30 more minutes.
Unquote. No, he doesn't. He absolutely doesn't have to play for 30 more minutes.
If his spleen has come loose, yeah, he probably shouldn't play for the last
I mean, that's tantamount to malpractice. I mean, I can't even, like, so
if
I'm driving.
Let me put it this way. If it was my kid, I wish he hadn't played in the second half. If it was my son, I would have been like.
Well, of course not. You'd have been down on the field making sure he didn't go back in that game.
I would have taken his helmet from him. Yeah.
Exactly. Right. I mean, does no one care? Do they not care, really? So they're going to come back and say, well, we checked him out. No, you didn't. You know how I know you didn't check him out? Where's the x-ray machine in that blue tent?
Yeah, there's no way.
You know what I mean? And even then, like, x-rays can't work. You know, he's going to need more than that. He's going to need, like, you know, full blood work and, you know, let's see, you know, should we do a sonogram or something to see if he's bleeding internally? Like, we saw what happened. We know the train wreck he was in. Oh, you know, when you get in a car accident and the car's all smashed up, a lot of times a guy goes sit on the curb and they go, you all right? There's no, you know, he's not bleeding. He's just sitting there and he's kind of dazed. He's like, yeah, no, I'm okay. And then he drops over.
Yeah.
And because he's ripped his spleen, he's bleeding so much internally that he turns white and he dies on the curb. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, the first thing I would think of is he's got internal injuries. He may have a collapsed lung, you know. And to sit here and use the guy's competitiveness, oh, he's tough as nails. Okay, you'd have to drag him out of that game. There's no way we could keep him from playing, finishing that game. Yeah, you can. Take his helmet. Right. It's easy. It's no problem at all. And furthermore, why wouldn't you? Right? Except for one thing, Tom. They pay a lot of money to be in the championship game.
Oh yeah. Gotta win. Got to win.
Got to win, baby.
And then we sit there, and we're all part of it, Rick. We all sit there, and go, oh, what a gutsy kid. Oh boy, you know.
No,
and
I just said a minute ago,
all the Jets fans got to be excited to see what. And I go back and look at the tweets from that night, and just like, oh, what courage! What I was like, courage. It sounds stupid.
There's a few people that question that, you know, what their motives were.
Yeah,
I think it's clear. It's clear what their motives were. Win at all costs. Win at the cost of his health. Because you just can't convince me that the way he – and here's the thing. He couldn't protect himself. You know what I mean? If another guy broke free and took a shot at him and was beelining for him, he couldn't have gotten out of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things if a guy's got like a, you know, like a bad thumb or something. Yeah. Like hits his hand on a helmet.
Right, he can't
grip
the ball.
Or takes a shot
to
the thigh. Yeah. You know, one of those things.
He can still move.
But yeah, that just looking at that hit, you're like, oh my gosh, that was scary. And look at his reaction to it afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you couldn't help but think, like, man, is somebody going to step in here and get this kid out of the game?
I'm appalled. Yeah. Who do you think wins the national championship game?
I think Alabama still. I like Alabama. That team is so good. I think their quarterback's really good, and they got a Heisman. I thought Matt Jones was going to win Heisman, the quarterback.
Yeah.
And turns out the receiver, who had just an unbelievable season.
Deontay Smith.
Yeah.
He's the best player in college football. And as good as Mac Jones is, that guy made circus catches.
Yeah, he did.
I would say this. I don't throw the football very well, as you know. They always made me the receiver in the turkey bowl things. But I would be willing to bet that if you gave me enough chances, I could throw in a season 3 or 4 touchdown passes to him just because he's going to go up and make plays over some guy that I threw the ball to wrongly, and he'll just take it away. That's how good he is.
He is. Seriously. No, he's an elite receiver. Although it's going to be funny, Rick. I was thinking about this earlier on Tuesday night, right as the Heisman was getting ready to be announced, and people were saying it's going to be interesting. We're going to look back 20 years from now. We're going to look at Trevor Lawrence like we did Peyton Manning. We're like, wow,
Manning, he didn't win it?
He didn't win the Heisman? You know, and there's been a bunch of guys that
you'd be like, you know, Elway, right?
Yeah, right. How did he not win the Heisman? And I thought for a second it would almost be sort of a lifetime achievement award, but I think they made the right pick. I think the Heisman voters got this one right. I think this kid was the best player in college football.
Yeah, I do too. And he was it's hard to win the Heisman when you're not the best player on your team, which is what Mac Jones faced. And as far as like Kyle Trask, you can't lose 3 games.
No.
You know?
Unless you go to Notre Dame.
A good one.
Well, yeah, Notre Dame used to Paul Hornung like a bazillion years ago. They lost like 8 games and he won.
Oh, that's true.
Who are you picking for the national championship? Do you know
yet? Alabama. I'm with you. I think it's not only is it a really good team, it might be Saban's best team. This team, I'd be interested to see if this Alabama team could beat some of his other national championship teams. I bet they would. I mean, they're that good to me.
It's been a weird team, weird season just because of COVID, and we're having a hard time figuring out because not everybody's playing within their conference, but they were impressive. Notre Dame, I don't know exactly what I was expecting out of Notre Dame. Not much.
Same thing you get every time. Yeah. They're not, you know, they're good enough to get there. They're never going to win. They're not going to win. There's three, maybe 4 schools every year, and we see the same ones. They've broken college football. College football is broke ass. Yeah. It's broke. Yeah, it's just broke.
I'm surprised that Ohio State won. I picked Clemson to win that game, and I thought I didn't think Ohio State had a chance because I looked like you mentioned a minute ago. I thought Justin Fields from the Northwestern game was going to show up again.
Yeah, and he was terrific, and they played way better than I thought they would. And now let me ask you this before we go: Is Urban Meyer going to coach in the NFL?
I think he might, Rick. I mean, we're hearing.
Would you hire him tomorrow? I mean, would you pay him $10 million? I know there's a report they wanted 12. They said it's not true. Would you give that guy complete control? Although he's not going to get that because Jackson was going to hire a GM. But
yeah,
would you give
and
him?
The owner still wants to have like a say, right?
It's his team. He should. Well, he always has a say. It's his team. But yeah, would you say, you know what, come in here, $10 million a year, I'll give you the Gruden deal, whatever. You get Trevor Lawrence, and we're good. We're gold. Let's do it. Would you do it with Herb? Guy quit twice now because of health.
Yeah, no, that would concern me. The concern would be, and it's always happened, and we mentioned this on your podcast yesterday, is there's always a concern with Urban is is as long as things are going well, he's good. But when things start getting a little shaky and they start losing a little bit, then all of a sudden he starts getting health problems. And I'm not saying he's making it up. I don't mean that.
No, I think the losing eats him alive.
He can't take it. Look, you go to Jacksonville. I don't care if Trevor Lawrence is your quarterback or not. You're going to lose a bunch of games the first couple of years.
Yep.
And can he handle that? So I don't know, Rick. I'm not scared of hiring a college coach, especially that college coach. But Urban would make me a little nervous.
Yeah, I think he'd win anywhere. He's one of those guys that would figure it out.
Because I think he'd relate to the players well. I think offensively he'd figure it out. I think he's a football guy.
You know, he's impressive. Like when you hear him talk, and I'm not a huge Urban Meyer fan. I mean, I didn't cover him or anything. But look, the guy's won a couple of national titles. He's clearly one of the best coaches of his generation. And to me, like, he knows how to pick a staff. The guys he picks are very, very good for the most part. He got in trouble with the one guy. But the other thing is, like, he gets the big picture. Like, he will never, and this is important in pro football as it is in college. His thing is, like, look, we have good players. It ain't the players. It's what we're doing with them. You know, don't ever say we don't have enough talent. Don't ever say, and that's what you got to do in the NFL more than any place. In the NFL, what you have to say is, what do you mean we don't have players? We got NFL players. We got as many NFL players as the next team does. It's our job to figure out how to put them in positions to win, period. I don't want to ever hear a coach say, you know what you got? You got bad attitudes. You got players with bad attitudes sometimes. You got guys being asked to do things they can't do sometimes. But it's a lame excuse to the coaches or anybody in any organization. And that was one of the things when Tony Dungy came. This organization for years was like, oh, we can't win. We're not as good. His thing was, yeah, we are. Just put them in the right spots. Like, just keep doing the right things. If we keep drilling it, and pretty soon we do things right and we don't beat ourselves, we'll be okay. And that was the one thing that I think the Bucs appreciated about him was, and I think Urban gets this, is that now, you know, he went from Utah. Before that, he was at Bowling Green,
Utah to Florida.
State, and yeah. So once at some point he was getting players because of where he was. But
there were a lot of days, Rick, where he took the field. He clearly had better talent.
He had more talent. Yes, he did. In Ohio State.
That will not be the case immediately.
That won't be the case in the NFL, but it won't take him long to get it, because in the NFL, it's not like you have to go sit in the living room and convince some guy and his mama that you're better for him than this other school.
Right.
You're going to be it's your pick. Take whoever you want. They got to go there. Right. You got the most money in free agency. Yeah. You can buy any player you want. Just pay them a dollar more. You know what I'm saying? Like it, the competitive balance, you don't have to worry about recruiting. Recruiting is built in. So to me, he would know what he wants. He would coach his coaches. He could be a CEO guy. But I think you're right.
That's exactly what he is. I think he ran Ohio State and he ran Florida like NFL teams.
He did. He really did. Yeah.
And where there are some coaches, I'm not saying that Dabo Sweeney, for instance, could never be an NFL coach, but he smacks of a college coach. You know.
Yes.
Sort of the rah rah.
Right.
And I don't know that I'm being fair. Maybe he could coach the NFL. I'm not saying he couldn't, because I think Jimbo could. Jimbo Fisher could.
Jimbo could for sure.
And I think Saban really. I think Saban.
If they take Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper, he'd have never ended up at Alabama.
Story. Yeah.
You know, so. He just didn't have a quarterback.
So he'd be okay with Urban if you're Jacksonville.
If we're worried about the fan base, what? I'm in Jacksonville. This guy won two national titles down the street. And I'm going to have him develop a young quarterback.
But you can't be there for 2 years. Like, you got to tell him, like, Urban, you got to.
No, you can't. You're going to have to manage your health. And that's the thing that would scare me, is that he's going to get into it. We're going to lose early. We're going to get about the third year. And he's going to go, you know, guys, I just can't do this anymore. You know, that would really worry me.
Is that the best job out there as of right now?
No, the best job is San Diego.
We're taping this on.
The best job is the Los Angeles Chargers. I want to call them San Diego. If you could move him back there, that'd be even a better job. But the best job is the Los Angeles Chargers.
Because of the quarterback,
they got everything. They have everything. They have a good defense. They have, you know, it's L.A. But yeah, I love
you like the quarterback.
Love him. Rookie of the year. Yeah. Love him. Set a rookie record for touchdowns. Brought him back. I mean, they had 17-point leads in about four teams and lost all of them because of the defense. But they also had some guys out, you know, that are going to come back. And they got cap money. And they, you know, your quarterback's under control for four or five more years. I mean, that's, to me, that's hands down. The second best one is Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Because you get the first pick and they got cap room. And, you know, this guy's supposed to be, if you listen to everybody, not just a good quarterback, but a generational, like, Elway type, right? Like the
right.
He's got it all. The big arm, the smarts, the athleticism, you know, temperament, all that. Just a winner. So yeah, I would feel pretty good if I were them. If I
Houston, now, you like that job? I mean, you got Deshaun Watson.
I love the quarterback. Yeah. It's not bad.
And that's the big usually when you have a bad team, that's
the you don't have the quarterback. There's something about Houston's culture though that I don't know if Bill O'Brien drove it into the tracks or what. I don't know exactly what happened, but yeah, I think that's a little tough. Although I do love Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, like I said, that's the big thing.
So if I had to rank them, I think I'd go Chargers, probably Jacksonville.
Then Houston.
Houston might be there. Who else we got? The Jets.
The Falcons are open.
Falcons probably. A terrible job. I'll tell you why. You got to get rid of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones pretty soon.
See, I think I think those guys can play a couple more years.
Yeah, but you don't want them to because, listen, your salary cap situation is horrible.
Decent owner? You got a good owner?
He's a good owner, but he's not very patient. And you got to be convinced that they're going to stay with you. No kidding. I'm going to tell you this right now. You're losing 12 games in the next 2 years, both years.
Really? 10
to 12 games. Yes. And you're not getting any free agents. You have zero free agents coming in. Zero.
See, I still like
the draft.
And
I need
Ryan
a quarterback.
I need it. Yeah, for like 3 or 4 more years.
Nah.
He's 36, I want to say.
Nah, it's time to move on, Tommy.
And after that, you have the Jets are still open, obviously.
They got to decide, you know, is Sam Darnold their guy? Or are they going to, so we're getting rid of Sam Darnold. Is that what we're doing? We're going to take Justin Fields or whoever the second quarterback is.
I think that's what they will do. I'm not sure that's the smart thing to do.
I don't think Sam Darnold. I think he's a good quarterback.
I think he is too. I'd be happy with Sam Darnold. In fact, I thought the way this was all going to break down before the Jets decided to screw up and start winning games was they, and I say that jokingly, but, I was thinking, okay, here's what's going to happen. They're going to get the number one pick. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence. They're going to have to get rid of Sam Darnold. And I was thinking, you know where he's going to go? He's going to up in Pittsburgh, backing up Ben Roethlisberger for like another year.
That'd be great.
And then he'd
for
be
him.
The Steelers' next quarterback.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the rumor out there. But if I don't think they'll go that way. And then the other job opening, I guess, is Detroit still, which I don't think I want any part of that franchise.
Well, it depends on who their GM is. But yeah, it's. Tell me a coach that has gone there and coached ever again someplace else. I think they have that. Seriously, I think they have that stat where no, like Mariucci went there, Rod Marinelli. I don't think there's ever been a guy, coach, tell me if I'm wrong, if anything pops in your head, a guy that went there and was a head coach of the Detroit Lions and got another head coaching job. It's the last stop on the train.
It does feel that way.
Right.
And there's always this excitement and optimism. Like, this is the guy that's going to do it. I mean, when they hired Matt Patricia, you're like,
oh, jeez.
You know, okay, here's a Belichick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But no. And Matt Stafford, I think it's time. He needs to go somewhere else.
For his good. For his own good.
Yeah.
The guy's a warrior. He's a hell of a quarterback. And Matt Stafford,
like him,
if he'd have been any place, right? He could be next year's Phillip Rivers.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure
he could be Phillip Rivers.
He might. No, seriously, he may go to Indianapolis.
That's right. That's
Phillip's going to be coaching high school football in Alabama next year.
Right.
So,
I believe that.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is going to be, you know, on what is it, NBC?
I guess the word is he's going to go to NBC, do like Notre Dame football, and be like in studio
analyst.
Notre
Dame, is he not going to do, he's going to do NFL too, right?
Well, they're going to have him like in the studio on Sunday nights. They're not going to
like Tony Dungy, like that kind of studio?
Yeah. That's the word. That's the rumor that he would, he would do Notre Dame. I forget who I read somebody the other day who wrote this, that he would be the, he would do Notre Dame football and then do the Sunday night in studio. And then he would eventually would replace Collinsworth as the, in the booth.
Wow. Well, where's Collinsworth?
Like, how do we know that he's going to be any good? Is he going to be any good at that?
Drew Brees?
Yeah. I mean, do we know? I guess I guess those guys know.
I think he's going to be really good at it. I don't know that he's going to be Tony Romo type good, but I think he's going to be really good.
Well, people seem to think that he's going to be good, and that's what, like, they're saying all the same things that people said about Romo before Romo actually sat in a booth. And
yeah.
So
he's pretty likable, and he knows a lot of football.
And yeah, I think, I'm sure his Q rating or whatever is really good.
Do you think Peyton Manning will ever, like, you know, John Elway stepped up, I guess. Didn't step down, but stepped up in the organization, however you do that. I want one of those jobs. Hey, I'm going to leave my good job and step up in the organization.
Right.
But there's been talk about maybe he would want to run a team one day. I don't know. He's got this great gig at ESPN. Does Peyton. Have you seen Peyton Places?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's phenomenal.
He's really good on TV. You know what this is the honest to God truth, what I think Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning should be on television and not like...
He should have like a late night show type thing?
Either that or like a sitcom. I'm serious.
No, you don't want to script
them. I am dead serious. Yes, I am dead serious about this. I think he would be... I mean, like, he could be like an Alex Karras.
Alex Karras?
I mean, do you ever see him on Saturday Night Live? The acting he does on Saturday Night Live?
No, he's hysterical, but it's only because we see him doing acting and we don't think of him as an actor.
I think he would be really good at it. I think he'd be a total natural. You see him on the commercials.
Talk show host, I think. I don't know that I want him in a sitcom because now he is acting. Now he's not being Peyton.
But he's not.
He's great at being Peyton.
But even like those commercials he does with the country music guy or whatever.
But he's still being Peyton Manning.
He is, but you do that on a TV show. Be Peyton Manning. Peyton's Place. Whatever, man. Yeah. I think it would. I'm dead serious. I think he'd be really
good. You're going to have like a sitcom wife?
Sure.
That's not going to work.
Well, you bring in, like, I don't
he's
know.
He's got a beautiful wife.
Somebody younger than Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Like somebody
come
young.
On, man.
Like Julie Louis-Dreyfus, like 20 years ago, whoever that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, right,
now,
right.
You know? Yeah, pick out, like, some funny
you
comedian
serious?
Woman. Yeah, I'm dead serious. I think he'd be great. I've said this all along. Ever since I saw him on Saturday Night Live, I said, this guy should be doing
but
more
I don't
than
think he
just...
should act. I think he should just be... the snarky, you know, knife in the ribs Peyton Manning guy, you know?
And I think I'd watch that for a half hour every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock on ABC. That's what I'm saying. Or Netflix or
nobody
wherever you want to
put it. Does anybody watch TV anymore?
I do because I'm...
well, you watch Judge Judy and what
I
else?
Do I do watch mean, Judge Judy.
You're not
Law
watching
Order
really
and
TV.
And Law and Order reruns.
Law and Order, okay. So that's not... You're not watching like Tim Allen's new show,
what would you? No. But what would you have? Well, I mean, I do watch stuff on Netflix. What do you think he should do? You think he should
run
a team?
Well, if he was going to do TV, I would have him host a like a Tonight Show type thing. I'd have him do his own late show. He'd be my David Letterman.
I'm good with that, yeah.
You know, I'd have him interview and just be self-deprecating and needle the guests and, you know, just sort of like he does now on the Peyton Place.
Well, that's the way you would do it. You would put him in. You wouldn't have like traditional come out and do a monologue like, hey,
No. Well, although he did that on Saturday Night Live and killed it.
Right. But I mean, I wouldn't have him like sit behind a desk and tap a pencil and let's bring out Julia Roberts. Like,
yeah, I might.
Well, I mean, I'm not opposed
to
it.
Or just expand the Peyton Places thing where he goes
and
visits. Yeah,
have him go out and do stuff.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like he's doing football right now, but you could do any walk of life, you know, country music. You could do acting, he could be that sort of flippant interviewer of the stars, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a Howard Stern, but in a clean way. Kind of
you
know, snarky little, you know.
Does he doesn't want to run a team, right?
Well, that's the other thing they said that maybe he would like warm up to is, but that's a, you know, that it seems to me like. If you've got kids and all the money in the world, why do you want to run a team?
I know. Like, that just seems
you
like
really
such
a Because people, the general managers that I know and have known, they got in that job thinking that they were going to run a football team, and you know what they became? A babysitter.
Yeah.
Like, right. Everything runs past your desk, and you don't has nothing to do with football. Nothing to do with Sunday.
I don't know what his sort of business acumen is, or what I mean. Would he like? Would he want to be an athletic director? Would he go back to Tennessee and be their athletic director? Or is that something?
I don't see that. Do you see that?
Probably no. I see him on ABC on
because like there are some jobs where like, you have to work, shit. Right? Why would you if you had all the money in the world and you can go play golf? Like, why are you going to work where you have to like do stuff?
Right. We got to find who his people on when you listen to this episode on Twitter. Tell us who would be Peyton's like the
what's
wife
Peyton's
on,
best
who's
occupation?
Peyton's wife on the sitcom?
Who would the wife be?
Yeah, who would the wife be?
It's a great
yeah,
one.
Have Eli like live next door or something like it. Every pop in every now and then. You know,
Katie
like,
Nolan. I don't know.
Katie Nolan. She's too young. She's too young.
She's too young for who?
Yeah, for Peyton. So we got to pick out.
Okay. Right? Well, let's just be clear here.
Yeah,
are we
gotta
clear?
It's got to make sense. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
So what is Peyton like 45, 6, 7, 8? I don't know. He's like Brady's age, right?
Yeah.
Brady is. What am I thinking?
No, that's exactly right.
All right. So he needs like a 40-something or a late 30s.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll think about it.
We'll
listeners,
maybe
can...
like an old, like somebody, like one of the.
You said Julie Louis Dreyfus. You're way off the range.
I was way off, yeah.
You're off the range, man.
Yeah. But I think that I'd watch that show. So
I'd watch anything he does. I think he's terrific. He's funny. Funny as hell. I'd watch what you do, and
thanks,
I read
brother.
What you do at pointer.org, O-R-G. And so I guess you'll be writing about it. It's still political season, huh?
It's political season forever.
Apparently. Do you ever get tired? Are you still talking to who's the you've talked to every news anchor. Is there somebody, let me ask you this about your job. Is there for you the Moby Dick? Is there a white whale that you got to interview that you're like, if I leave this job and don't interview this person, I will be forever kicking myself. Who is that?
Wow, that would be that's really good.
Thanks.
You know, I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, I'd be fascinated to ever interview a president, obviously, but that's not somebody who's in the media.
Let's go ahead and restrict it to not the leader of the free world, but
people?
Maybe just the media. Yeah, like is there one I'll tell you what. I'll open it up a little bit to even entertainment. Let's say entertainment and or media, right? Like
You know what? Not to show up to entertainment like Colbert, like Stephen Colbert would be.
Really?
I'd
you
be,
find
yeah.
Colbert interesting?
Yeah, I'd find him really interesting, sort of the arc of his career. Yeah, I'd be interested in that. Oprah? I think Oprah would be. I'd love to interview Oprah.
That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, I think she's.
She's not as visible as she used to be, though, right?
Or no, it doesn't seem like it, is it? I mean, I'm sure
she didn't have the Oprah show or the Oprah.
Yeah. Okay. Before we go, I found the actress, 40 years old.
That's in the range.
Pretty funny.
Okay.
Could see him with Zooey Deschanel.
Okay, help me with the.
She was a New Girl. She was a star.
Oh, New Girl.
500 Days of Summer. Yeah.
Has she done anything lately?
Yeah, I'm sure she does.
Jeez, New Girl.
I mean, that's been
that's a few years.
That's and 2018, I think, was the last year. New Girl.
Oh, was it that? Okay, well, that's fairly recent.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking I didn't watch her, that show much. Which
was
one was
good.
She? There was two of them, right? Like there's Laverne and Shirley?
No, it was just her.
I didn't remember.
Shirley, yeah. No, she's I think she'd be perfect.
You didn't like
casting.
My Katie Nolan suggestion then, huh?
Yeah, Katie Nolan. Yeah, me, I you don't want to
Although he's kind of the funny guy, so it might have to be somebody playing the straight.
So, yeah, Zooey Deschanel is kind of funny too.
Yeah. I don't know how that would go. Well, we've got to solve this problem, so maybe our listeners can help us.
Give us
at Tampa Bay or at Sports Day Tampa Bay or at SportsDayTV.com.
And the name of the show and who the wacky neighbor could be, all that stuff. You know.
Where you just see the top of his head over a fence? They did that before.
We can have Tim Allen do that part.
Tim Allen could do it. There you go.
Exactly.
All right, Tommy, good being with you the last 2 days. I am off to the greater winterland of our nation's capital. I'm sure nothing is going on up there right now.
Oh, I know.
You know, we'll talk to you after the Buccaneers.
Buy your long underwear, buddy, because you're
according
gonna
to you
go to
aren't gonna beat the Red. You're gonna beat the Washington football team. I keep saying the beat the Washington football team, and then I'm gonna make a prediction. There will be one upset over the weekend in the NFL.
This weekend?
Yes.
Do you know what? Do you have a game in mind?
Yes.
And I've already picked. I think Cleveland can still beat the Steelers, but now that they don't have a head coach, I think that could be a problem.
Who's coaching here?
It's not going to be Chicago, New Orleans.
Oh, so it'll be an NFC, though.
The Rams?
Yes. The Rams will beat Seattle.
I would not be surprised if that happened.
Even though, and I'm not sure that Jared Goff is back, but they managed to win a damn game with a guy that played in the AAF, which is like two spring leagues ago. I mean, I'm telling you. I'll tell you what, man, this Sean, what's his name, McVay? This guy is unbelievable, man. He sounds like me, you know what I mean? Except he wins. That's the difference. John Gruden, by the way, 8-8 Gruden.
Yeah.
He's becoming the Jeff Fisher of his time.
That's what you said, man, Mr. 7-9. July 9th.
He's going to be Mr. August 8th. July 9th will always be Jeff Fisher to me.
He's going to be Mr. August 8th. Yeah.
He's bidding for Mr. August 8th.
The problem is he starts off like,
gives you all the hope in the world.
Like June 3rd, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it turns into August 8th. Yeah.
I think he's going to be Christmas, man. But, it's not been good. It's not been good. It's not worked out over there yet, but we'll see who
he can be the wacky neighbor for Peyton Manning.
True.
It's all coming together now.
That's right. What are you cooking over here, Peyton? Is this Peyton's place? Is that the name of this restaurant? Where am I at? What are we having tonight?
Perfect.
We're having chicken parm again. Is that what it is? Chicken parm, it tastes so good.
Why aren't we writing this? Is my point.
I don't know. I'm gonna write it down.
Yeah.
We shouldn't give this series away, should we?
I know. No, huh?
Let's do it. All right. On our next podcast, and I will let you go now. We will come up with our TV pilot for Peyton Manning.
There you go. Perfect.
There you go. All right, Tommy. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
My thanks to Tom. Tomorrow we're gonna preview the Bucs at Washington NFC wild card game. Of course, that's Saturday with Joey Knight of the Tampa Bay Times. And you know who's got the best party platters for your catering in Tampa Bay? Well, that's Mr. Empanada. If you want to know what an empanada is, you just take your favorite foods. They place them inside a pocket of homemade dough. It's cooked perfectly until it's golden brown and piping hot. And their empanadas are a fresh twist on some old favorites now. You can order delicious menu items made from scratch, including soups, salads, and Cuban sandwiches online at MrEmpanada.com or call anyone. There's 7 convenient locations located around Tampa Bay. Where Latin food quality and service meet, it's Mr. Empanada. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Strada of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.